It's really fascinating to see all of the extreme sports that have popped up. Things like, it's not just about folks who snowboard, but they decide that in the midst of snowboarding, they want to do all of the crazy flips and jumps where, you know, if they make a mistake, it's really possible they're going to bite it, and in a big, big way. People who do base jumping, taking a parachute and jumping off of, well, instead of jumping out of airplanes, they jump off of either rather large buildings or off of cliffs. Just take a running leap off of the cliff and throw the parachute out behind them. Little frightening. Any of these extreme sports, which brings about a great rush for the participant. Either whether it's adrenaline or whether it's the rush of the dopamine and the endorphins that are really kind of going through because of the physical exertion. And also because there's just this massive risk of death in the midst of it. And a lot of this is people talk about wanting to live on the edge. Has our life become so incredibly dull that we have to go out and find the places where the edge is and create new ways? I suppose back when you're being chased by large predators on the on the African plain, maybe you're not worried so much about living on the edge. You realize perhaps that's where those endorphins and things come from. But nowadays, folks want to go out and find that edge. Find the places where they say it makes them feel alive. But the reality is, they can step back from that edge whenever they want. One bad experience, and then they realize their mortality, they can step back. They don't need to do it anymore. But as I was reading today's gospel text, I wondered about the folks who lived on an edge that they can't back away from. Jairus' daughter is at the brink of death. Jairus stands on the edge, living in that unnatural space of a parent about to lose a child. And so he, a leader of the synagogue, goes and begs Jesus to come. Lives on an edge. And on the way, they meet a woman who has literally lived on the edge of community because she has bled for 12 years. Because of the Levitical laws, she is outcast. She can only live on the fringe. She can't go into the midst of other people. So, on her edge, out watching the community from afar, she has risked everything, or spent everything, to try and get better. Now she's going to risk everything. And she's going to live on an edge. If she's found out in the midst of this group that she's actually in there touching other people, trying to grab a hold of Jesus' clothes, she risks stoning and death because she's an outcast. She's going to contaminate the rest of them. She is living on the edge. She has tried everything, tried to grab a hold of everything, Now she reaches out to grab a hold of Jesus' cloak, her last resort, and she knows the only way to get to it is to get through the crowd. We have plenty of folks living on the edge, on the margins. Weekly, we get phone calls from folks who need help. Folks who live in places that astonish me at times. I grew up in a mobile home. I mean, it was a good mobile home park, and it was a fine place to live. But I walk into some of these mobile homes, and I think, oh my gosh, how do people live here? People are living on the bare edge of subsistence for whatever reason. Walk into nursing homes. I go to visit, say, Will Gleifelt, Tom Kelso. Walk into those places and you see the people sitting in the wheelchairs in the hallways. And yeah, there's people moving all around them, but they don't talk, and they only watch with their eyes people moving by. They don't move, they don't gesture. They're living on an edge. Living on an edge of community, like the woman in the gospel text. People dealing with mental illness. Folks living down on the edge of the river. Wrapped up in whatever they can find to keep warm. And say what we want about folks choosing to be there, their own decisions, landing them there. Point is, they're living there, and they're on an edge. Isolated from the main bulk of community. And it's not just something they can get up and walk away from. Now, Jesus comes up into the midst of this crowd, right? He's been out doing crazy things. Earlier in this chapter of Mark, he casts out demons from a guy living in a graveyard and sends them into pigs, and those pigs rush down the hill and into the sea. And the folks in that region get a little nervous because he's around. He's a little wild doing these crazy things. They ask him to leave. So he comes back over the sea. That's where we start today's lesson. But before he casts out the pigs we had last week, where he's able to still the wind and the waves, the chaos. He heals people. Forgives sins. Jesus is living on an edge. Jesus, this true human, this true God, walking around on the earth, walks another edge. Walks the edge of the chasm that we can't get over. Why is it that the woman and Jairus go to this Jesus? They need a guy who lives on the edge. They need a guy who crosses that edge between the divine and the human. The guy who's going to bring about reconciliation and healing. The guy who's bringing in God's kingdom. Jesus crosses that edge for us. Bringing about that healing. Being the source. He's the end of all of that division. The end of those boundaries, the end of that edge. He restores the woman to community. He reconciles her, makes her whole, not just physically, but as a person. And what good is her health if she still can't get near community? She restores the little girl. Talitha kum, get up, little girl. Not even the brink of death is an edge that is impassable for Jesus. Restores her to the community. And folks, if it is true, and it is, I think, that Jesus lives in us, we too are called to live on the edge. And there are many, many edges in our world. Places that we are all called to. And it doesn't take much. Our Sunday school, a dozen kids went a few weeks ago up to a nursing home. And they sang the songs that they had learned during the year in Sunday school for a group of people gathered there. I'm going to tell you, I am not sure I have ever been prouder of our Sunday school for doing anything other than that. Because they walked an edge. And those little kids don't understand where they were. Perched on that precipice, extending a hand, bringing in some joy and human contact with folks who get blessed little of it. Jesus crosses those lines, moves us across those edges, out into the world, not so that we remain here in the midst of this particular community, this gathered group of believers, but reaching out. So those of you who are in the medical arts, you realize you live on that edge between health and sickness. And I hope you see that it's Jesus moving you there. Those of you who deal in darker areas live on an edge in life and death. Those of us in everyday life are able to speak a word to people who live in those dark areas. A word of comfort to the grief, to the grieving. A word of welcome to the outsider. Providing some food for the hungry. The edges are all around us. We don't need to be jumping off of buildings and riding down mountains on bikes or on skateboards. The reality and risk of death stares us in the face. We just choose to ignore it most of the time. And yet, Jesus is sent to end that, to bring about God's kingdom, to bring about the end to all of those broken areas. To welcome us over the edge. We, who are united with him in the waters of baptism, are called to the same task as he. And we need not fear. It should bring us great joy, a great rush to live on this edge, to live on this edge with our Lord, with Jesus. Thanks be to God. Amen.